Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's in the New Testament section. It's about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. This week, we're in our seventh message in a series of nine messages in our Experiencing Him project. We sang a lot of great truths in the words of great hymns of faith. We sang one today right out of the Bible, Micah 6:8. We've learned a lot about God through a number of passages in this sort of topical theological study that we've been on in the summer, studying from God's Word, the Bible, which is always good. Today we are experiencing God. We're talking about experiencing God in His Word, specifically in His revealed Word, but we're also going to start out with experiencing Him in His incarnate Word. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. The first way that we experience God is to experience Him in His incarnate Word. That means we experience God the Father and God the Holy Spirit by experiencing God the Son, right? Father, Son, and Spirit are one, and when you experience the Father, you experience the Son and the Spirit. Experience the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. When you experience the Spirit of God, you're experiencing Father and Son because they are one. They're one in one entity, three personalities, three functions, all the same. First, from John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, that's the way I memorize it, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from John 1, 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, referring to Jesus, assigning deity here, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. In other words, Christ is the perfect representation of God the Father and the Spirit. He's the visual one that we see. And in John 14, 9, Jesus said to His followers, He who has seen Me has what? Seen the Father. He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So, as you spend time experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ, looking into His character, looking at His mercy, His encouragement, looking into His love and asking for that, and His power, and all His perfect attributes, as you do that, you experience God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because Jesus is God. He is the incarnate Word. He is God in flesh, incarnate. Jesus the Father, Jesus the Lord Jesus, the Lord God our Father, the Lord God the Holy Spirit are one. Okay, second, and here's where we're going to camp for the rest of the service. We're going to spend the balance of our time learning more about how we can experience God in His revealed Word. In His revealed Word. Turn to the right in your scriptures over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, God's revealed Word is found in your owner's manual. If you don't have a Bible, take one with you today. We've got some more in those cabinets back in the back. We can put more in the pews. Everything that God wants you to know about life, everything that He wants you to know about living in relationship with Him and with one another and with other people outside of these four walls is found in the revealed Word of Almighty God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 becomes a key passage in our understanding of God's revealed Word. Paul writes to young Pastor Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good Word. I underline the word inspired. It is the Greek word theopneustos, which is two words hooked together, theos and pneustos, two words like pneumatic, breathing, right? Breathing. Thea, God, pneustos, breathed. So the scriptures are literally breathed out by God into the minds and hearts of the writers of scripture through their quills and right onto whatever it was, papyrus or skin or whatever they wrote on. They wrote the very words that God intended them to write down. And in Hebrews 4:12, it reads like this: "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Almighty God has revealed himself through his incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of the Bible, his revealed Word, and we have received what has been passed down to us through thousands of years and kept pure in the original documents, and it is God's holy Word, the Bible, in 66 and only 66 books. There's not another testament. There's not another one. The problem for Christians in North America is not that we don't have the Bible. The problem, as many of our brothers and sisters don't have it in their own hands. You know, we have sisters and brothers around the world who don't have the Bible in their own hands. When I've been teaching out in India, Nepal, there are pastors of churches who maybe have the Gospel of Luke. And that's it. That's it. Thank God for the ministry of the Gideons who are getting Bibles all over the planet. I encourage you, pick up one of those donation forms for the Gideons and donate some Bibles. They'll go someplace important around the world. The problem with North American believers is not that we don't have the Bible. It's our problem is we don't do near enough with it. We don't do near enough with the Bibles that we own personally or in our homes or outside of our homes. So today I'm going to give you four assignments, right? Four assignments to experience a God in his revealed word. Four assignments to take home and begin working into your priorities and into your daily planners. If you don't put this in your planner, it's not going to happen. It will not happen. They're simple. They are effective if and only if you do what this pastor is going to tell you to do. Okay, here we go. First, go home and experience God by reading his word. Just heard from Garrett this morning. There are a group of the guys in our church that are going to get together and they're going to read Bible together. I turned a cartwheel right in the aisle. It wasn't really big. It was kind of inside. But in my heart, I said Garrett, didn't I? I didn't mean Garrett. Sorry. Eric. I think that's cool. That's great. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Give attention to it. In his day, this would most likely have been the Old Testament and possibly the Gospel of Mark by that time. The Old Testament and the Gospel of Mark. With public reading of Scripture comes the public listening of Scripture. Right? With public reading of Scripture comes the public listening to the Scripture that is being read. So when you hear the Bible read aloud, you should stop doing whatever it is that you're doing and pay attention. I love you when I say that. Right? When you hear the reading of Scripture, listen. It's real simple. Real, real simple. In other words, you shouldn't be filling out your offering check, even if it's a real fat offering check. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be counting your change to go in the offering boxes back there during the reading of Scriptures. You shouldn't be unwrapping a piece of candy during the reading of Scriptures. You shouldn't be checking your phone messages. You should not be contemplating the online menu at Henry's, making your plans for lunch. I don't even know if Henry's has an offer. I made that up. But, yeah, as important as that is, skip it. You ought to be listening because it just might be that the most important thing that God says to you on any given Sunday, or for that matter, any other day that you hear the public reading of Scripture out of God's Holy Word, you need to pay attention. Joshua chapter 8 now, at the ending of chapter 8, Joshua, as this is after the defeat of by the little teeny town of Ai, Joshua builds an altar and had the law of Moses inscribed on it. And then, with half the people on one side and half the people of other side, you pick up the reading in that chapter, verses 34 and 35 of Joshua 8, he read all the words of the law, the blessing, and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. And I can tell you, folks, that took a while. In Texas, they say, a while. It took a long time. A long time. Western churches, for some reason, have trouble holding still. We get antsy for just the reading of just a few verses. Think of the entire law of Moses. In Bible times, the people of God listened in one hearing to the entire law. They didn't get up. They didn't go barbecue. They didn't unwrap candy. Did they have candy in those days? Okay. Danny says yes. Look, pay attention to the public reading of Scripture and you will experience God. He absolutely will show up in the reading of His Word, the Bible. Also, you should involve yourself in the private personal reading of Scripture. That would be you personally. One of the key stories on the benefits of personal reading of Scripture is that story about the Ethiopian guy. He came up from Ethiopia. He came up to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 8. This guy came up to Jerusalem for the right reason. He came up to worship. While he's in town, he acquires a copy of the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, and as he heads back south, returning back home toward Ethiopia, lo and behold, he crosses paths with Philip, God's servant, placed by God, commanded by God to go down and wait along the side of the road. And there he is, waiting south of Jerusalem with the exact explanation of the exact book of Isaiah, which leads the Ethiopian to salvation and eventually to the arrival of the first recorded believer in Jesus in the continent of Africa. The gospel went to Africa first, I believe, by the Ethiopian. At least he's the first recorded believer to go back to Ethiopia. When I was in seminary, I was the assistant to Chaplain Richard Sumi. He was the first chaplain ever at Dallas Theological Seminary. It was my high privilege to be his final assistant there his last couple of years. And Dr. Sumi said to me one day that not nearly enough people read full episodes of Scripture to get the whole story. We take these little bitty passages and we don't read broad swatches of Scripture. So making Bible reading, making reading your Bible, your highest Bible priority, if you do that, you will experience God as you read. You'll get to know and appreciate Him better, and you're going to love Him more deeply, and you're going to trust Him more fully. Read the book. Read the book. Big sections. Read God's Word. That's assignment one. Okay, here's assignment two. Experience God by studying His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul commanded young Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. King James translates, study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved. And accurately handling is translated there, rightly dividing. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It means to correctly dissect the word of truth. To correctly dissect it. In other words, study it, dig into it, get to the meaning of the Scripture. Open it up, look closely, observe the text, interpret the text. Make sure you know what it means, what it's saying to you, and then apply the text in your daily life. Do what the Word says to do. We see the command to prepare to teach the Bible in the New Testament, and the example in the Old. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 reads like this, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach His statutes and ordinances to Israel, to study it, to practice it, to give it away to others. The Hebrew word for study is darash. Darash. It means to diligently seek or to search, to inquire, to ask questions of someone or something. Do you ever ask questions of the Bible? God calls us, His people, to dig into His Word. He calls on it. He calls on us for that, to mine out the deep nuggets that are there. You know why, right? One, it's good for you. Two, there are people around you, and especially there are children around you, who need to understand it so that they can live it out. And you know what? If you're reading it and studying it, you're going to be helpful. You're going to be helpful for them. Okay, read it. Study it. Here comes assignment number three. Experience God by memorizing His Word. Memorizing His Word. Psalm 119:11 reads, your word have I hidden or treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. That I might not sin against you. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Memorizing Scripture is one of the most valuable gifts that you can give to yourself, and frankly, that you can give to others as well. Hiding the very words of God in your heart, allowing them to richly dwell in you, will never, ever fail to overflow from your heart and out of your mouth at the most opportune times. The most opportune times into the lives of others who need to hear God's Word, the Bible. Guess what? You have memorized more Bible than you might ever, ever think. Take a cruise through the Psalms, and you will be stunned when you start picking up, oh, we sing that on Sunday. Oh, yeah, we've got that one on Sunday. Yeah, we're singing these songs already. The Bible verses are woven throughout the great hymns of faith, and a lot of them, the modern-day hymns that are being written by more contemporary authors. They're in there. Go through the Psalms, and you're going to see, and they're going to make you're going to smile every time that you get to those. They're taken right out of the Bible. Here are three collections. Here's one that Mary and I have had. These are songs that are based on Scripture. It's called Sing a Song of Scripture. I looked online this past week. There are 14 copies left of this online. Used good. Amazon should sell out of these sometime this week. The author's name is Ken Bible. Isn't that a great name? Ken Bible. This week I saw them out there on Amazon. Yesterday I was talking with Hannah Dietrich. She told me about a couple of collections. Here's one. It's called Seeds Family Worship. It's out at seedsfamilyworship.com. She and Garrett learned about that when they went over Libby Baptist Church, highlighted this in an event over at their church just a couple of weeks ago. Seed Family Worship. Great scripture stuff that's available from them. And here are three, and as I was looking, there are even more of these out online by Randall Goodgame. Is he the donut man, Mary? I think he used to be called the donut man. Maybe Randall Goodgame has several collections, and these are Bible texts set to music. Good way for you to memorize Bible. Put it in a musical form. It's a good way for children. So good for you, good for your kids, good for your grandkids. Greats. Anybody got great greats? I see that hand. Oh, no, not there. Okay. All right. They're good. This is good stuff. Okay. Amazon. Amazon will ship them right to you. They'll come right to your house. Not too bad. If you order enough of them, shipping is free. So you say, well, Ed, I can't memorize Scripture. I'm too old. Bah. I've never been good at it. I tried for 5 whole minutes to memorize the 23rd Psalm, and all I got to was, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, that's not Psalm 23. Trying to see if you're, thank you, Mary. 45 years, she knows when I'm fooling around with you. To which I would reply, do not underestimate what God will enable you to do if you will honor Him by giving Scripture memory your sincere efforts over time. Your sincere efforts over time. I gotta tell you about my mom's dear aunt. So my mom just passed away. This is her aunt. It was just a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, something like that. My mom's Aunt Versa. Isn't that a great name for a student of Scripture memory? Versa. My mom's Aunt Versa. Aunt Versa used to work on her memory work every Friday. She had macular degeneration. So one of the ladies from her church came over and wrote them out in script about this big. She had binders full of notebook paper with her scripture verses, handwritten, binder after binder after big, 3-ring binder. And on Fridays, every Friday, even though she had trouble seeing, she would recite from memory an entire binder at one sitting. She busted into Psalm 1 when we were down there visiting her. And I said the second line, and she said the third line, and I said the fourth line. And then she's got, well, how about Hezekiah 37:5? And bam, there's not a book of Hezekiah. But it was just, I mean, she put me in the shade. She absolutely put me in the shade way up in her 90s, and she was still moving forward as a student of Scripture memory. If my Aunt Versa can do it, you can do it. 2. Okay, fourth and finally, go out and experience God by meditating on His Word. Experience God by meditating on His Word. Blessed is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bears his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, King James, that's how I memorize it, shall prosper. Meditating on Scripture, well, I almost said meditating on Scripture is money. Spiritually, it's valuable. It is really, really valuable. Blessing is a direct result of a life lived out of meditating on the words of Scripture. Out of meditating on the words of Scripture. You know, in Psalm 119, at least seven times, Psalm 19 being the longest chapter in the Bible, certainly the longest of the Psalms, the psalmist vows to meditate on God's Word at least seven or eight times as you go through there. Joshua chapter 1, meditating on His Word is so critical in God's eyes that He commands it of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Let me tell you, that is a big promise in Scripture. It's a big, big promise. To meditate means to contemplate. It means to ponder, to think about it, to consider the text, literally to murmur it over and over and repeat it in your mind and in your mouth, to turn a phrase over and over again, to reflect on Scripture truth from every single angle that comes to your mind and to your heart while you're meditating on it. When you meditate on Scripture, you will experience God. It will happen. So go do it. All right. God's communication has come to us mainly in two ways. Through His incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through His eternal revealed Word, the Bible in 66 books, breathed out by God the Holy Spirit into the minds and into the hearts of the authors of Scripture, written down for our benefit to be taken in and then poured back out into a life and through a life that honors God and it becomes a message to a world that really needs to hear the Bible that we have in our hands too often on our coffee table or on a bookshelf collecting dust. Okay, here are your four assignments in review. Go home and read your Bible in whole episodes. Go home and read your Bible in whole episodes. Two, go deeper in Bible study. Three steps, observe, interpret, and apply. OIA. It's off to work week. No. Three, memorize verses that are standout verses to you. As you're reading along, something's going to go pow. It's going to jump off the page. And it's good if you will pause and memorize that verse. If you have trouble memorizing Scripture, you talk to me, because in my past, I literally have been a professional memorizer. I can teach you a system of Bible memorization. Absolutely works. It absolutely works, and it will work for you too. So memorize those that stand out to you, and especially those that will help you in witnessing to others. Four, meditate on key verses so that they flow out, so that they permeate everything that you touch. Read, study, memorize, meditate the Word of God. Because when you do, God shows up. God shows up in ways that you never thought possible, and he uses you like you never dreamed that he would before, because the book is important to him, and the book ought to be important to you as well. Oh, by the way, Awana Clubs is right around the corner. Our children memorize a lot of Bible. Show up. You'll memorize some Bible too. Join the kids. Hide God's word in your heart. Pray with me now. Faith Bible Church is who we are, Lord. We believe the Bible is true. We believe the Bible is important. Help us, Lord, to mine out how important it really is by these four ways of digging deeper, going deeper in your word, truly hearing from you, Lord. And we say it in the name of our Savior Jesus, the incarnate Word of God. Amen.